Well, how did we do from our challenge last week that I gave you all? I gave you two questions to think about throughout the week. Why did Jesus come for you? I wasn't looking for a biblical answer. I was looking for a very personal answer to you. And then also, the second question, which I feel is more important, why did Jesus die for you? Not biblically. Again, why personally do you think Jesus died for you as an individual? Why did he die for you? So I want to challenge you guys for this next week. I have another challenge. If you didn't do last week's challenge, that's your new challenge. If you did last week's challenge, good. Then you're ready for the next challenge. That is to grow as a Christian. Amen? Okay. Well, I was telling Anna this morning that some people like me to recap and some people don't like the recap. But I'm going to recap just a little bit that we talked about last week. And I think it's important. Why is it important? Well, here's why. Again, if we didn't do that challenge, and that challenge was real important last week, after we got through Easter, now what? Jesus came, he had the great triumphant entry on Palm Sunday, then he had a rough week in between. How many of you guys have gone from one Sunday to the next and thought that was a rough week in between? I sent Eric an email during the week, or Friday, and said, man, I am slammed at work. Can you possibly look into this? He said, man, I am too. And it just gets that way sometimes, and especially on a Friday. And I thought, man, Jesus had a rough week in between that Palm Sunday, this great triumphant entry. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We all know that. He's doing that. They're laying down palm branches. Some even throwing their coats down in his path. And then he had a couple days that he did some work. And then he had a couple days that they worked him over. So it's important that we know why Jesus died for us. It becomes very important in knowing who we are in Christ. By understanding why he died for us. Well, why is that important? Well, it's also important for us to know who we are in Christ. So that we'll be able to effectively communicate the gospel. When we understand and know who we are in Christ, we can effectively communicate the good news of the gospel. Sometimes we try, but when we don't know who we are or why Jesus died for us, it's real hard for us to pass that information on in a good manner to others, and God does call us to do that. Why is it important? Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission becomes very important for us carrying out that mission. And he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So it's very hard for us to take that mission or take that great commission and take the good news of the gospel to other places in the world, to those that may not have known, when we don't really understand why he died for us. So that's why it's important. We have to know why he died for us. It's also important so we carry out the great commandment, which it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. And Jesus says, like the first commandment, the second commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, then we have a challenge for some of us because we think, I don't really like who I am. And again, as we understand why Jesus came for us, why he died for us, and who we are in Christ, then we start accepting who we are and why God made us this way. Let me tell you, it was a long time ago I accepted this business up here. Okay, some people can't accept that, and that's okay. I embrace it. I don't have a choice, but I guess I kind of do have a choice, but I'm not going that route. Okay, but it's important. And I say that because there's a lot of young people. That back row perked up real quick. There's a lot of young people, guys and girls, that don't quite fully understand, why did God make me this way? Why do I look this way? Why did God give me this body? Because he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And he designed who you would be and how he wanted you to be. Now he also gave us free will. something that some of us really don't like. And we may take that temple and do different things with it. Man, I hear an amen back there. I don't care what he's saying. He's saying amen to me, and I love that. But when we understand who and what we are in Christ, it becomes a lot easier for us to accept ourselves. And we have to accept ourselves. We have to know that God put me here for a purpose. Some of you may have gone a long time. I'm not necessarily saying age-wise, but at the same time I am. You may have gone a long time and said, I never fully understand what God had intended for me. I went a long time not knowing what God had intended to me. Most of you know my story. 15 years ago, this past Easter, was the first time I came back to church on a real basis. Who would have thought I'd be standing here 15 years later? Not me. And most of you know the story. From my daughter going to youth group here, that's why we decided, let's check out this church. So that's why the youth is so important. And our Young Kings kids, when you talk to Young Kings kids, Donna, and I think when I read this, Matthew 28, I think of one of the vacation Bible schools that you and your daughters did, and Angela was reading that scripture. And I don't read that without thinking about her and that vacation Bible school. And that's important. When we plant those seeds, and we may never see the result of that, but we have to plant those seeds in faith, knowing that they're important. And some of us have to come around, and we have to water that seed. And we have to know that that's important. I don't see anything growing there, but man, I'm going to continue watering because I know there was a seed planted in this area. And then one day, someone's going to walk past and think, I'll be doggone, look at that. I wonder who planted that beautiful thing. And the Bible tells us about that. Some will plant, some will water, some will sow. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's much easier to love your neighbor when you love yourself. And when you love others. So last week's challenge. Why did Jesus come for you? Why did Jesus die for you? If it still remains unanswered, that's your challenge. And your challenge going forward is continue pursuing that until you know. Talk to someone with some biblical knowledge about that if you don't understand what I'm asking or really what that means. Why did Jesus die for me? Some of you may have been very perplexed by that question. Man, I can't figure out a reason. Well, there is a reason. And that's where some people are lost also, because they're trying to learn themselves or teach others when they don't know. And they're thinking, man, I don't know why you're here. I'm not sure why I'm here. Find some strong Christians to help you on that path and in that journey and to answer those questions. So last week we read, and we were in Luke last week, and we read about Jesus being taken up in front of the disciples. And there were a couple things that happened after that. Number one, it said they worshipped him. Number two, it said they returned with great joy. And I challenge us as Christ followers, as believers, as just good citizens on top of that, let's find some joy in our lives. You can find joy in the smallest things. You can find joy in the smallest things. And some of you may think, I have to find joy in the smallest things because I don't have any big things happening in my life. Then find joy in those small things. We got a little penny jar, and my oldest son hates pennies. He just soon fling them in the yard to be found 100 years later with a metal detector. I take them because I know every penny is worth something. It takes a whole bunch to equal any money. But eventually, all those little things add up to a bigger thing. Okay? So find joy in the small things, and eventually you'll say, man, I've got a lot of things to be thankful for. I assure you, every one of you woke up this morning. Find great joy in that. There are people that went to sleep last night that did not wake up this morning in this world. Be thankful for that. Those are the little things you start saying, I guess God is responsible for those things. So they returned with great joy. And number three, it says they were continually in the temple. continue to come to the temple, come to the church. And we are the church, so that may mean continue coming to fellowship. But when they came back to the temple, they did two things when they were there. It said they came back praising God and blessing God. And I thought, well, that's an interesting thing. A lot of times we think, wait, does God not bless me? Well, sure he does. But they were blessing God in return. How do we bless? Ways. Many different ways. God says, these things make me happy when you do this, when you do this. When we worship him through song, that blesses him. When we go to him in prayer, that blesses him. And they're coming to me. Yeah, God knows every one of our prayers and every one of our needs, but he loves when we go to him. He loves that. Because he says, they're coming to me. They're pleading to me. I can look at my children and say, I know what you need. But if you want it real bad, why don't you come to me and ask me? And there's some things I don't think you need, but if you ask me, I may give it to you. If you show me that it's a need to you, and it's important to you, and of value to you. And then just before that, where we read that, in Luke chapter 24 last week, it was verse 50 through 53. Just before that, we were told when Jesus was with them, right before he was taken up, he told them to do these things, and he said, let repentance be preached in my name. Let forgiveness of sins be preached in my name. And I thought, well, very interesting as we pass on to that and go into Acts. In the first couple books of Acts, it talks about repentance being preached and forgiveness of sins being preached. And I've told you guys before, some in the past have said, it sounds like you guys kind of preach the same thing. And my response to you and to them was, well, the Bible kind of says, do the same thing. Repentance, forgiveness of sins, love one another. I mean, those are the basics. There's a lot of other things and deeper things we can get into. But God said, man, if you don't have the basics, why are you going into these bigger things? If you don't get the basics of the Christian life and the Christian values of loving one another as yourself, and therefore God says love yourself, and then understanding why he came and understanding why he died, why are we worried about the bigger stuff? I want to go out and save souls, and I want to go out and cast demons out of people. Man, you can't even love those people you're casting demons out of. You just want to do the big work. And it's important to understand that there's a development first in the Christian life. Back in Matthew, we've talked about it at different times. People said, hey, I've done these things in your name. I've cast out demons. I've healed sick. I've done these things in your name. And what did he say? Depart from me. I never knew you. And I think that those are the people that didn't get those basics of loving one another. They didn't understand. So they were instructed there when he said, preach repentance, preach forgiveness of sins. And then he was taken up. Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So in Acts chapter 1, we read that the disciples go back to Jerusalem. They go to the upper room where they were staying. They stay in there. And I want to read something out of Acts chapter 1 real quick. And it's talking about their preparation as they're hanging out and waiting. And it says now in verse 9 of chapter 1, it says, now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up. So we know those things. They're just retelling what happened. And in verse 12, they're in the upper room now. And it says, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. And it lists all the disciples. And it says, they all continued there in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with Jesus' brothers. So they're all in one accord in prayer. That doesn't mean everything they do is the same all the time. It means when they were in prayer, they were like-minded. They were all on the same page. And they came together in unity and supplication. Man, it sounds great. What in the world is supplication, Adam? Sounds like a math problem to me. Supplication is simply, they were pleading humbly. When you do these things in humility, when you're pleading or almost begging-like, usually referred to in the Bible. But supplication means you're just going before God and you're pleading with Him humbly to do these things. Okay, that sounds great. They're going together with prayer. So, why did Jesus come again? They're meeting together. Now, we're going to do something bad. I apologize. We're taking us to the upper room and we're getting ready for a very exciting story. And we're going to skip that. Oh, thank you for not booing. I was worried about that. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you're thinking, man, we've skipped a whole bunch of good stuff. We'll come back to that. Not today, but we'll come back to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read in verse 1. And as you're turning there, Jesus came to overcome sin and to be an advocate for us to the Father. So the church has progressed. We skipped that very important, really neat story that we'll get to at a later date. And now we're skipping to the churches in Corinth. In chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Sounds like a loving God. Verse 6 says, "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters, as were some of them. For it was written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell." One version says 24,000. There's different reasons why, but it's a whole bunch of people. "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of all the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Let me tell you, those strong people, we all think we're strong and we can do these things. It says, be careful, lest we fall. Never think we are too powerful, too knowledgeable, too biblical, too godly to fall. "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." You know, as we look at the prophet Hosea. That's a fascinating story to me. This guy came, God said, "Hey, I need you to marry this not so good woman." And I'll tell you why I'm bringing that up. He said, "I want you to marry this woman and you're going to have some children." And they had some children and she was not faithful to him. And they divorced. And this was God's plan for his prophet. So I'm thinking, why in the world would God take a prophet, someone to pass on this message, and say, "I need you to marry this woman who's going to be unfaithful to you, but I need you to do that as an example"? Well, Israel wasn't being faithful. They weren't being good. They wouldn't repent. And then in time they did repent. And God said, okay. But there was some problem time. in there. And God said, I'm going to put my justice down here. And you're going to have to feel my justice for a while. And I say that to say, don't think wherever you are, whatever you've been through, is too much for God to use you. I thought God took his prophet, said, marry this woman. She's going to be unfaithful. You'll go away from her. But in the end, I'm going to draw you back together as well. So don't think that you have been through anything that God cannot use you. And we need to be careful as we judge other people that have been through things or done things that they can't be used in such a holy setting as this place. Because every one of us is a sinner. Amen? Oh, thank you, sinners. And amen for me as well. God can use us all if we allow ourselves to be used for his glory. All that to say, God uses people in different things. And when people fall, we should be there to help them get back up. And I see you fell, and I see you stumbled. And, well, quite frankly, I apologize. I put that stumbling block there. Or, oh, I see you tripped over this. Let me remove that stumbling block. They come in two different ways. Sometimes we put it there, not knowing, not thinking. Sometimes intentionally. And other times we're there to remove that stumbling block. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way for escape, that you may be able to bear it. Well, thank God for that. God gives us a way to escape. He says, man, I can get away from, or you can get away from these things. And then skip down to verse 31. And it talks about idolatry in there and skipping that. But in verse 31, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And then the next line says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Church, we're called to a couple things. We're called to repentance. We're called to forgiveness. And that means we need to allow God to forgive us of our sins. But it also says, don't expect him to forgive you if you're not willing to forgive others. Because it says, he will forgive you as you have forgiven others. There's some long grudges some people have held. There's some deep hurt people have hung on to. And sometimes we just don't want to let that go. We don't want to let somebody else off the hook. And God says, man, it is not about you. See, it's about me. Because even though you may not want them off the hook, I put somebody on the hook and I hung them on the cross so you don't have to deal with us anymore. And for some of us, it makes us pretty cranky to carry that weight around. It hurts our back, it hurts our shoulders, it hurts our heart, it hurts our minds. He says, you don't need to carry that around anymore. Preach repentance. That must mean that he expects us to repent. Preach forgiveness of sins. He expects us to forgive others, and likewise, he will forgive us of our sins. And then I added this last line I just read, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. We are to imitate Christ. And there's little things we can pick up along the way. We talked last week about being light and salt. Middle part of Matthew talks about that also. You don't want to take a light, put it under a bushel and hide that. No, we're to be a light and a beacon for Jesus Christ. Not one of those little lights that you try and have with your keyhole to see where your key goes in your car. Not a little dim light like that, but a brighter light. When it draws people to it. And then salt we talked about last week, it adds flavor. It makes people thirsty. And we want them to thirst for God's word. Amen. So we went to just before the day of Pentecost. They're in the upper room. An exciting thing was about to happen, but we didn't yet cover that. Then we skipped down the road to the churches in Corinth. They were established at this point. And I feel like there's two things. When they were in the prayer room, or when they were in the upper room in one accord in prayer, like-minded, I feel like that represents us right before our conversion or as our conversion comes. Man, we're all excited. We're all this. We're all in unity. And then I feel like as we jump into Corinthians, that may be where some of us fall a little while later. We kind of forgot that. We went through daily struggles. We didn't have accountability partners. And we didn't know where to go with some of this stuff. And when we didn't do that, then we struggled. We started slipping back into our old ways. Anger, lust, addictions, finances, health, all kinds of stuff. Drinking, smoking, whatever it is. And that's why I went there and skipped that great part that's coming up. God says, man, here we are. We've come to Easter. We found out about the death and the resurrection. The resurrection had to happen as it was told in the Old Testament. Okay, now what? Now comes the church. And now comes the church body and the church people. Back in Matthew, go therefore to make disciples of all nations. They were to take that everywhere. You've got to think, how far away are we from the churches at Corinth? We're a long ways away. And this same message has been preached and taught over 2,000 years. So it still has value today. But it says, get ready, because the Holy Spirit's coming. When they were in the upper room, you're getting ready for this big experience. And I don't think anyone is here by mistake today or any day that you're here. But we need to look at where we were. We were in the upper room and where we may have slipped to now. Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, they don't want us to go back to our old ways. Because, as I said last week, I believe God is calling us all to a higher level of expectation in the church. I know He's calling me, but I truly believe that He's calling us as an individual church, the Christian faith in general, but us as a particular individual church, I believe He's calling us to a higher place as well. Higher involvement, higher community outreach, higher fellowship. And that doesn't mean that we just have more activities going on. It may mean that we just spend time with you. We spend time with you. We spend time with you. That we get to know you guys and learn fellowship through that. The breaking of bread. Do not underestimate the value of just getting together for a few minutes, having lunch, having dinner, or just having a conversation after church for 20 minutes with somebody, getting to know others. But He is calling our church to a higher level. Nobody can reach us, can't get here barely from Anderson Road. One day the road's open on both ends, one day it's blocked. I don't know. Okay, but I know that that's progress. Remember, two steps forward, one step back is still progress, right? Amen? Two steps forward, one step back is still progress. As we get progress out there, in time, God says, I need you to be ready. I need you as a church body to be ready. I can't remember if I said this last week or not, but I know it has been on my mind for last week and a half, almost 2 weeks. Did I feel we're a very welcoming church? And I hope we are. To those visitors and guests, I hope we are. But something else popped up, that we are a very accepting church. And we have to learn and understand how to accept people that are different than us and that may have different mindsets than us. And God calls us to that. I pulled this song up here as we were playing that today. I thought, I love that. Mighty to save is our God. Everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. He goes on to say, everyone needs forgiveness. Amen to that. The kindness of a Savior, the hopes of nations. And it says, Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. And then at the end it says, shine your light and let the whole world see. And I thought, thank you. I thought, this is our song. This is our song. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. That's a powerful song. I've seen this song change lives. And I've seen the power of the things that are written in that song change lives. Challenge for the next week. Figure out the answer to last week's challenge. Why did Jesus come for you? Why did Jesus die for you? And I want that truly to be your pursuit until you answer that. Because again, when you do it, you understand your purpose. Who you are in Christ, what your purpose is. You then understand how to take the gospel to other people as you understand why he came for you and why he died for you. Some people don't need all this extra mumbo jumbo. They want to know, why am I here? Take a look at me. My life is a mess. I'm a mess, whatever. Take a look at me. Why am I here? And why did God give me this framework to live in? And when you understand who you are, you can help that person that's saying that answer those questions for themselves. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We understand sometimes it's complicated and sometimes it's very basic. But you gave us a simple message to love one another. To love our neighbors. And to love ourselves. God, you told us to make disciples. And when we understand who and what we are in Christ, then we're ready to go help other people. There's a lot of learning to still do, but we're ready to go share that with other people. Your word tells us to be ready in season and out of season to give a testimony for our faith. Help us be ready for that. Your word tells us, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we will also reap to the flesh that corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will also reap everlasting life in the Spirit. God, my prayer today is that this congregation and myself, that we grow in your word, that we grow in understanding, and that we come together and find joy and fellowship with one another. Help us as we go out this week, Lord, just to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Help us to be an example. And help us imitate you. We ask these things in your Son's name.